This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 1 hour in the book. Still 2 hours to go. The big show. Barry, Nick, and Joel on The Usual Suspects on a Tuesday in the big city. Appreciate you being loyal suspects of the show. If you haven't seen the design yet for the fantastic show shirts that everybody is clamoring for, and I do mean everybody. I have friends of mine saying they will purchase them.
Me too.
If made available.
Nice.
The big debut is supposed to be next month, but Barry did one hell of a job designing them. People are excited about them, so we are excited that you guys are looking forward to getting your shirts.
That reminds me.
That's all I got was positive reviews about the design, by the way.
Oh,
everybody
good.
Was complimenting the design.
Glad to hear that.
Yeah. And nobody was snooty about the color.
No, that's
which was even better.
Yeah. So I got to get the finals over to Courtney so we can make that happen.
That'd be great. Before we get to your attendance things, one of the other side notes I want to rest in peace, Bill Buckner. Buckner passed away this weekend. He was suffering from dementia. He was 69 years old. Unfortunately, this guy is only going to be remembered for a ball that went through his legs in the 86 World Series. But when you look at it, and I was doing some of the research this weekend, when you find out that less than 5% of all major leaguers had more hits in their career than Bill Buckner, he had over 2,700 hits in his career. He played for 8 different franchises. He was a winner across the board. He won a batting title. He was an all-star. And it's really unfortunate that sports is so great, but there are moments that can put you in complete seclusion when you have no control over it. It's like, you know, guys that have given up big home runs before.
Yeah.
You know, there was, I think his name is Donnie Moore. He gave up the big heartbreaking home run for the Angels in the playoffs 1 year, and it got to be so bad he committed suicide.
Damn, really?
Yeah. So Bill Buckner, I think a couple years ago, the Red Sox finally brought him back, and the Fenway crowd gave him a standing ovation.
Oh,
and that
was
great. The first time that he could actually take a deep breath, because he was living through it every single day. He didn't want to be, and he, you know, even identifying himself as Bill Buckner, and people are like, oh.
Yeah.
Because all they remembered was one play when they didn't remember a hell of a career.
Yeah.
So I just want to throw that out there.
Bart Starr passed away as well.
Yeah, I was going to mention that one as well. That was big for the people back home. He was a true legend. You know, you talk about Super Bowls versus championships, but a guy that on and off the football field was just a class act that everyone loved in the state of Wisconsin. And I think Mike Tannenbaum, the former GM of the Jets, was on this morning on ESPN. He told a story that I think kind of illustrates who Bart Starr was in the Ice Bowl on that famous last play where he decided to sneak it in and they got the touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the sideline, and the conversation between him and Lombardi was that Lombardi wanted to run a running play off tackle. And Bart said, no, I'm taking this thing and I can get it in. Wow. And Lombardi succumbed to Bart Starr and said, okay, Bart, go get it. That's not Vince Lombardi. That tells you how much respect he had for
Bart
Starr.
Yeah, that's a lot of respect.
So, yeah, he was 85. His health was failing. So rest in peace, Bart Starr.
Very sad.
Yeah.
Before we do the attendance thing, let's get Troy's call. I don't want him hanging on forever. Troy wants to talk Astros as well. And then we'll talk where you guys think the Astros fall attendance-wise
amongst Troy
other
was at a game.
Major league teams. Troy, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Troy?
You got your diehard fans and everything, but I want to go back to Friday's show.
Okay.
So after listening to the show, going home, I had to travel for about 4 hours going where I was going. And if you ain't never had nothing stuck in your head, gripping and fighting. That's all that was stuck in my head.
Troy, we can't hear you. Try it again. We couldn't hear you.
I said, so, yeah, I had that stuck in my head. Me and my wife were traveling down to Port O'Connor to do some fishing. And finally, we were driving, and I just said it out loud. And she goes, what did you just say? I said, it's a long story. And then I told her the story. She goes, that's stuck in your head right now? I said, yeah, it is. So, thanks, guys.
Appreciate
Make sure it didn't get stuck somewhere else when you decide to bring it up to your wife. A little gripping and farting.
Oh, that's too funny.
Hey, babe, we're done fishing. You want to do a little gripping and farting?
Be like,
hook, line, and sinker, if you know what I mean.
What do you want to do this weekend? A little gripping and farting will be good.
And this call said Astros. You threw to it like we were going to get into more baseball conversation, and he was gripping and farting.
That's too funny.
There you go.
Somebody texted the and said, bro, too many other options. That's comical. The other options are eat 10,000 different Mexican food restaurants. I'll be honest, as a fan of the Astros, I'm like the Warriors when it comes to baseball. I only show up during the playoffs.
Wow.
Well, at least he's honest. Yeah. I feel like that's the sentiment of a lot of people. That's a lot of people in this town. The stadiums don't get packed until playoffs. Just how it is.
I think a bigger problem is you being Houstonian and wearing another jersey. I think that's the bigger issue. Like, if you're not a transplant and you're wearing a jersey just because you're a bandwagon fan of another team, I think that's
the
problem.
Wait, with a home, can I own a hat from another team?
Well, if you're going to go to the game.
If you're a Houstonian, he's saying.
Like, if you're a local.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, I have a Yankees hat.
Right.
But I just, it's because I bought it when I was in New York.
Are you going to wear the Yankees hat at an Astros game?
Never in a million years. I wouldn't wear an Astros hat or jersey to an Astros game.
I'll be honest.
But that's just me.
I grew up, and I told you guys this, I grew up a Red Sox fan because my dad always had me emulate and watch really good left-handed hitters and position players. And I watched a lot of Red Sox, and so I was a Red Sox fan. When I got to Houston, I was drawn to the team. I loved the way that they were rebuilding the team the right way and everything like that. I have so many Red Sox hats from over the years and everything like that. I can't wear them. They're all in a box and I put them away because now I'm just so dedicated to the Astros because I like, they do it the right way. It's like the Warriors in basketball, yeah. But the fact that they do it the right way.
They really do.
I look at some brand new hats going, God, I love that hat just the way it looks, but I'm like, I can't wear it because it's an arch rival of the Astros.
I bought that, salute to service hat. Oh, that's a pretty hat.
Yeah.
And I'm not a hat guy.
You know I am.
Yeah. My wife, she talked me into buying it because I was like, man, I really want this hat. But everybody at the station says I look like a lesbian when I wear a hat.
No, not everybody. Tyler.
And she started laughing. She goes, what? She goes, you look good in a hat. I was like, well, not according to Tyler, I look like a lesbian.
Middle-aged lesbian.
Middle-aged. That's what it was.
Yeah.
She was like, babe, I like you in a hat. I was like, well, if you like me in a hat, then that's all that matters.
Screw Tyler.
Because we have sex. I don't have sex with Tyler.
Yeah, not screw Tyler. You're screwing your wife. Yeah. So then if she likes it, you wear it.
So I ordered the hat. And,
good for you.
You know, I'm going to have to bust it out this week. Go Astros.
They gave away that military support for service hat, I believe it was yesterday.
The green one?
No.
That I just bought?
No, it was like that, but it was more of a trucker hat, and it had the batting practice logo on it, but it was still camo and had the batting practice logo.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Well, that's good. They do have good giveaways. Astros have really stepped their game up.
Yeah, you've always liked the rings. I think that there's a chance you might even see them this year just because they have a surplus.
Somebody said, I love the Astros, but I live an hour away from the stadium. I'm pretty much every game on TV.
So that's not you. That's not who you're really addressing then, because if you're an hour or so out, that's almost outer market. So it's not, you are not who we were addressing. We're addressing the general population in the DMA of Houston, Texas.
Correct. That is.
You want to get technical. All right, let's get more technical. Let's get to your one of your strong suits, which is analytics. Let's get to the numbers.
My strong suit is analytics.
Yes, Barry Morey. Let's get to the analytics of Nick is the attendance.
Nick is the math whiz and the numbers guy.
Fair point.
Nick, 9 times 7.
63.
Okay,
boom.
Good job.
That's why Nick is Sam Hinkie.
Absolutely.
Trust the process. All Nick is in there for a reason.
That's right. So I pulled up attendance records. Mm-hmm. Home attendance. And I'm doing average because the Astros have played in 28 games, and some teams have only played in 24 that are ahead of them and behind them. So I ask you guys, where do you think amongst all MLB teams, the Astros rank in average attendance per game?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, buddy.
No, go ahead.
All I know, I can't tell you where they rank against other teams.
Just
I can guess an average, and I think it's about 30,000.
Okay, but where do you think that puts them? Do they top 5, top 10, top 15?
I would say top.
Pick a number. Just give me an exact number.
Top 15.
Okay, so you think they're 15th?
I think they're 6th.
You think they're 6th?
Mm-hmm. Is that fair?
They are 10th in the majors in attendance.
So I said L.A., the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Cubs, and the Dodgers.
Right. Here are the teams ahead of the Astros in average attendance. Dodgers are first. St. Louis is second. The Yankees are third. The Cubs are fourth. The Angels are fifth.
Wow.
The Philadelphia Phillies are sixth.
I can see that.
Because of Harper. Boston is seventh. Milwaukee is eighth.
Not a baby.
Colorado is ninth.
Really?
And the Astros are 10th. Colorado has never won anything, and they're awful this year.
Yeah.
And they are still outdrawing.
Charlie Blackman just won on the IL.
IL. And they're still outdrawing the Houston Astros in this baseball sports town.
Some of those surprised me, but here's the thing. You take a lot of the excuses out of the equation because some are going to say, oh, it's all new stadiums with more seats. No, not when you're talking
this
about
Fenway
and you know, and Wrigley and Dodger Stadium, which I've been to numerous times. Yeah. It is anything but modern. It's the furthest thing from it. So you can't put that in the mix. Now, I'm sure next thing you're going to hear about is traffic and prices.
Oh, sure. 32,530 is the average attendance at a Houston Astros game.
You were right on, Nick.
33,934 is the average attendance at a Colorado Rockies game.
It's a big deal. Have you ever been to a Rockies game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the way they built that whole warehouse district or whatever they call it.
Well, yeah, especially after their worst.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. They don't have one.
All right. But it's a good.
Milwaukee and their world.
No. And you know what? Milwaukee, the thing
those
is,
the
too.
The next two teams ahead of them.
Stadium is completely.
The Angels and their.
Away from downtown.
World.
The Angels, that's amazing to me.
Yeah, but in the last 5 years, Philly had their.
At least there's hope because they're building a big team in Philly. Unlike the. Oh, that's right.
I bet Philly's Twitter's off the hook. Just like Astros Twitter. Interesting.
I think they get triggered.
If you care. Oh, they do. When I said about the bandwagon thing, I was like, don't at me, Astros Twitter. Y'all are the worst. Because they can be. My God. You'll never see so many bandwagon-ass fans as you will on Astros Twitter.
You got them fired up.
Awful.
You got them fired up just by getting that one guy. Who said
Tom?
Yeah.
Tom's old stupid ass.
Tom they was like, came out of the woodwork to blast him.
Houston sucks. The stadium sucks. It's a dirty town. Stupid ass fans. I was like, well, feel free to bleep off and move, Tom. No one asked you to be here. Like, I'm like, I dog my own city and my own team, but it's kind of like Big
You're
Brother.
Allowed to.
Yeah, I'm from here. I'm a native Houstonian. I want us to be the best at everything. I want us to be better than what we are. So that's why I bring it up. I want to shame Astros fans into showing up and selling out and not allowing the Cubs to outdraw us as a city. Absolutely, if that's what it takes. It's not that I don't love the city or love the teams that I root for here. I do. I'm not an Astros hater. I'm not a Rocket hater, a Texans hater, or a Houston hater.
Me either.
But maybe one of those. But I gotta call it like I see it, too. And I gotta tell people.
I think that's what we're paid to do.
Yeah,
is we got to be honest, and you know, as they say, call a spade. What you see is what you're gonna get. And so, if you want it to be better, then you've got to be better, and you got to step up. And like you know, people are saying, look, if it's the one time that you know a certain team is coming to town, whether you're doing it to combat their fan base or because you know it's a good team in most cases and it's going to be a good series, one way or another, if you snap up the tickets, then they can't get them.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's the key.
How it goes. If just to give you some perspective for road games for attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is a little less scientific.
Yeah, it's harder
because
to calculate.
If you play bad teams that are low on this list, then your numbers are going to be affected.
Right.
But this will give you an idea. The LA Dodgers are the number one road team in attendance.
Really?
Yes. Their average attendance when they're on the road is 34,459.
That's a little surprising to me based on some of the fan bases we talked about.
Sure. Milwaukee, second.
Yeah.
See? The Washington Nationals, third. Pittsburgh, fourth. So, like I said, a little more subjective. Boston is 15th. The Chicago Cubs are 7th in the majors in road attendance. The Astros are 27th of 30. Really? There are three teams that draw worse on the road because that was ATX Over Girls like, oh, yeah, you can hear the woos on the road. Oh, okay. Few and far between, I'm guessing, because they are third to last.
Not big numbers, big vocal
There
cards.
Are three teams worse. I should say they're fourth to last. There are three teams worse in the majors at road attendance. That's the Oakland Athletics.
The Rays.
The Los Angeles Angels. And the Cleveland Indians.
Wow, yeah. The Indians I would think would be better.
Yeah, me too. I would have thought Tampa. Cleveland is the worst
in
baseball.
Yeah. That was my
Cleveland
first
is
thought.
The worst in baseball, drawing 19,961 on the road.
That's crazy.
Tampa Bay is 26th, one ahead of the Astros, drawing 22,634.
Man.
Astros are getting beat on the road by the White Sox, Toronto, a whole other country.
That's a good point. Now, let me throw this wrinkle at you, too.
The Rangers are beating the Astros on the road. Ugh,
that'll piss them off.
Make me sick.
But here's the other thing. When you think about it, when we talked about this, that Texans, traveling Texans group that does Texans games on the road, and they travel in the hundreds to go to road games. So I got to believe their numbers for football have to be up on the road. That's got to be a much higher number than it is for baseball. It's just... Is it as simple as saying it's just a football state no matter what? It's never going to change? Because really, if you want all your teams to be successful, then you should treat each team the same way when it's their time, when it's their season.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me, man.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's do that. Let's look at attendance in the NFL.
Oh, you must have seen something.
Let's look at attendance in the NFL for our Houston Texans, a football town. Where do you think we rank?
On road attendance or home attendance?
Home attendance.
Home attendance, I would say top 10.
Mm.
No?
You would be wrong.
Really?
11th in the NFL.
Well, close enough.
Well.
Okay.
Los Angeles, Atlanta, New Orleans. I'm going back from 10 up to 1.
Yep.
Los Angeles, Atlanta, New Orleans, Carolina, Kansas City, Denver, the Giants, Green Bay, the Jets, and Dallas.
The Jets?
The Jets are the number two. They average the second highest of anyone. Obviously, Dallas, because they got 91,000 seats or whatever.
Sure, sure.
The capacity is larger, but he fills it.
He does.
With Cowboys fans.
Yep.
But yeah, the Jets are the second highest attended team. The second highest in home attendance.
New York, but they suck.
In home attendance, yeah, it's the Jets.
God.
I saw a guy who said his teams were the Mets, the Jets, and the Nets. I was like, ugh.
Ooh, sorry. Sucks to be you. Wow.
That is awful. Yeah, nice. But your Houston Texans are 11th in the NFL in home attendance. You want to take a gander?
You got the road?
Yeah. Everyone's like, we travel well, though. We're proud.
I thought that they did. I gave them credit for the way they travel. But basically, based on your reactions and body language.
What are you
going
to say?
I'm going 19.
17.
Oh, there again. Okay.
Now, I will say this. Guess who's right ahead of them at 16? Your Green Bay Packers. Don't travel that well.
That's shocking to me.
That is shocking.
God, Packers always have.
Packers average attendance on the road, 67,645 at 16. Texans average attendance on the road, 67,255.
I'm really shocked by that because I've always seen Packer fans travel in droves.
I would think so, too. Number one traveling team as far as the road attendance. Get out your party hat, Holly. Philadelphia Eagles. Super Bowls will do that, though.
That's true.
Dallas is second.
That's when you get transplants that aren't even from there to be traveling to see them.
That's right. Hey, if you want some good news as well, download GetUpside. It's always good news when you get cash back in your pocket. That's what GetUpside does. Its whole job in life, its sole purpose for being is to give you cash back. That is GetUpside's number one job. And it does a really good job at it. When you download GetUpside and put it on your phone, it's completely free to do that. It is completely free to use. There's no hidden fees or like, oh, yeah, we'll keep half of what you get. There's none of that. You download it, you get your money, and use my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you extra savings on your first fill-up through the GetUpside app when you use it. My wife ended up getting 30 cents a gallon cash back on her first fill-up. It was surprising to both of us that she was able to get that much back. But we've had listeners call, like Clarence has told me he's gotten $5 back the first two times he used it when he was out there eating during lunch. Like you can get, like, there are listeners, I'm telling you, that have over $200 in their account that they've gotten cash back just from using the GetUpside app. Why would you want to leave money at the pump? Why would you want to leave money at the table? Speaking of the table, you can get cash back when you eat lunch or dinner, if you take some food home. You can Wendy's, Popeyes, Burger King. Stop and get some burgers tonight at Burger King and get up to 35% cash back on that purchase. Not just once a week, not just here and there. Every single time you use the app, you get cash back in your pocket. Do not leave money at the pump, y'all. Do not leave money at the table. Download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Get that cash back. Thank me later.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we like to give back to you, the suspects, and here's another chance to do just that. The American country music singer Cody Jinks and special guest the Toadies and Ward Davis are coming to the Sam Houston Race Park Saturday, October the 12th, and ESPN 97.5 is giving you, the listeners, a chance to win a pair of tickets before you can buy them. Caller 12 right now, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Caller 12 wins a pair of tickets to see the show. Tickets don't go on sale till this Friday, May 31st, 10 a.m. For more concert and ticket info, head to CodyJinks.com.
Do it!
You think Cody Stutes will go see Cody Jinks? I think Cody's a country music fan.
I don't know. I
saw Cody in the hallway.
So. Somebody asked me about attendance on the text line. They said, what is the trend line on Astros attendance rankings? Remember, we lost 100 games for consecutive seasons. So I did pull up Astros attendance. At one point in 2007, the Astros were drawing 3 million. Okay. Mm-hmm. In 2012, when they lost 107 games, they drew 1.6. So half. You win half as many games, you draw half as many people. The 3 years that they had 100 loss seasons, 2011, they still drew 2 million. But then 2012, they drew 1.607. In 2013, they drew 1.65. 2014, they ended up winning 70 games, they drew 1.7. And then it's been a steady incline since then. Last year, they drew 2.98 million.
I was just going to ask you. I knew they were close to 3 million last year.
Yes. So they've drawn 3 million three times in their history. Well, I shouldn't say their history. I'm sorry. Dating back to 1985, they drew 3 million in 2000, 3 million in 2004. I'm sorry, four times. And then 2006 and 2007. That was right after the World Series.
Okay.
So imagine that there would be a bump. Of course, you're going to get a bump from a World Series.
Well, and then again, and you want to. If there's anything that you know about this city, you want to escape from the moniker of fair weather fan.
Yes,
you don't only want to love your teams when they're winning. Part of the deal of being a true fan is supporting your team in good times and bad.
So it's funny because you look at the trend from the times when they started losing 100 games after their first 100 loss season. Average attendance per year, right? 19.8, and then 20.3, and then 21.6. Now they're out of 100 lost seasons. And then it goes to 26.5, and then 28.4, 29.6. The year after the World Series, last year, 2018, they drew 36.8 thousand people on average.
And the one thing that
that's
I will
great.
Say...
Too bad it's down this year.
Right. And the one thing I will say in defense of the the throws in terms of getting bigger numbers is they do have a relatively smaller sized ballpark compared to a lot of parks.
But they are definitely trending up, as is their payroll.
Yeah. Which is something that they've got to consider because of the fact that unless you continue to have ring nights because you're winning series, it's going to be tough to keep drawing that consistently.
Yeah.
All right. We're about halfway through the show. That means we still got 90 minutes to go. That means plenty more time for you to join us. 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. Second half right around the corner right here on ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books. 90 still to go. Second half of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Tuesday in the big city. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. We're all in studio and having a good time. Hopefully entertaining you up until 4 o'clock. Blitz will take you till 7 o'clock. You don't have to do anything but keep it tuned right here to the number one sports station in all of Houston, Texas.
My wife got me a new watch.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
And it's the Samsung Galaxy watch. And it is now making me obsessed with steps.
Oh, you're one of those.
Well, I didn't think I was. But you know how competitive we are.
Yep.
And if you see something that says, oh, you're not going to hit your 10,000 steps today, it's like, oh, bitch, yes, I am. I'll walk around this house. I don't care. I'll walk around this yard. I'll do something. I got a circle drive. I'll do laps. I don't care. It's going to be a problem.
It's a good problem, though.
I mean, is it?
I get annoyed by the guys that wear it playing basketball. And then when it snaps off or then you got watches on the floor or really? They hack the hell out of you and the watch is like scratches ripping skin you. Off your arm. And it's like, dude, now guys are wearing them and putting a wristband over them.
Oh, that's weird.
Just so they can still count their steps. It's not that serious.
Yeah, it's not that serious. I wanted it for running because I usually run with my phone, mm-hmm. and I don't like holding the phone because I'm worried I'm going to drop it and break it. Mm-hmm. So I got it for that and just to have. I mean, I don't have a.
Is this a pre-birthday gift?
Yeah, it's my birthday gift.
Okay.
That's what it was.
Okay.
So I got that and. I kind of like it, although I had to, like, you can get notifications.
So you play your music.
Yeah, you can download. Watch. Yeah, you download the music to your phone and then transfer it to your watch, and it's stored on your watch. I originally wanted a watch that had Google, what they call it, Wear OS, because it would do Google Play. But this is fine. I just download the music that I want and then put it on my watch, throw on some Bluetooth headphones, and then go running, and it tracks it, and it tracks your mileage and how fast you run and calories burned and all that stuff. So from that standpoint, it's awesome. The big mistake that I had, I didn't realize it coming to this show, but you have notifications. So, like, anytime I'll get a tweet or anything, I get the notification on my watch, too. My wrist has been sitting here for an hour because of Twitter just going crazy. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to have to fix this.
So it vibrates.
Yeah, it'll. I can turn off the vibrating, but it's still like my phone is like, or my watch is just full of Twitter notifications until I clear them. So yeah,
during show hours, that's not good.
No, that's why I was like, I didn't plan that appropriately.
I would like to keep just the caller ID part. I think the Twitter notifications would definitely get annoying, but the caller ID, I appreciate.
Yes, I got a spam call during the show.
Yeah.
And it rang on there, and I was like, oh, that's not even in my contacts. I ignore that call.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's nice. And it works. I mean, the phone, like, it connects. So I didn't get the one. They make one where you can get its own cell phone service.
Oh, so you can't answer.
Oh, no, I can.
You can. On your watch?
Yeah.
Okay.
So like it. So you can get one that has its own phone number. So you it can be independent of your phone. It acts as a phone and a watch and everything else. It has its own internet connection, everything. Or like this one, because I'm not that into it. Because the original one I had the very first Samsung watch, and it was like that. Never used it. I was like, all I really want to do is run with it and then just, you know, notifications and stuff. So it just pairs to your phone on Bluetooth. Mm-hmm. And then, like, yeah, if I get a call, I can answer the call. I don't have to get my phone out. I can just look at it, hit answer, and talk. It's pretty cool. And it works. Like, it doesn't work bad.
That's my favorite. That's the only reason why I want an Apple Watch or a watch like that is so I can answer. Like, if you're calling or Joel's calling, I'm like, yeah, if those guys just.
Yeah, right. Ignore.
And thanks, yeah. Ignore.
Whatever.
Spam. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. No, but mostly for courtesy calls, in all seriousness.
Right.
Because I get like 87 of them a day.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
The one thing that annoyed me, too, was, again, the same guys. We have guys that will answer the phone while they're playing. And you're like, are you talking to me? And it's like, hey, babe. And I'm like, what? And then you look and they're like, hey, 1 second. And we're like, no, we're not stopping the game for you to talk on your watch. But guys take it too far. We have guys that play with AirPods. In. Yeah, the AirPods.
Oh, what?
In. Yeah, and we're like, come on, Chief. Seriously, you can play that somewhere else, but we're not playing that here.
Yeah, that would be an issue for me.
Yeah, very annoying. But I know that they're very popular. So.
Yeah, I really wanted an Apple Watch.
They're just like those $7 million.
Those are the square ones.
Yeah, the square ones, but they're like this one's pretty thick. Mm-hmm. As far as like the size.
Yeah, they're very flat.
Yeah, it's like my wife has one, and it's real thin. Now they do make a Samsung Galaxy Watch Active. and it's the same size as the Apple Watch. It's very thin. The bezel, like, it doesn't have this big bezel on it. It's a lot thinner than this watch is. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't – there was – the ratings on it weren't as good. The battery life wasn't as good. I liked the style, but I was like, I'll get used to this. This will be – this is fine. It's not –
it's a good-looking watch, though, at least, because the square first, one, the very males and females both wearing the same square watch, and you're like,
yeah. The very first one Samsung watch I ever had was huge. Like, it was – it was like wearing a Flavor Flav clock on my wrist. It was just too big. So that's why I kind of shied away from them. But then I was like, yeah, I need to bite the bullet and do this. So
you picked out your own birthday present.
I did. I ordered my own birthday present. It was delivered. I ordered it on Saturday, and it was delivered on Sunday, 24 hours on Amazon.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and it was cheaper than if I would have bought it at the store.
Way to go.
No tax. Yeah. And then did good. And then I got a little.
Screw the whole suspense and excitement of opening a gift on your birthday.
I'm 45 now.
Okay.
If I was, 14, I'd want to open my ass. Just like, I wasn't even going to get anything. And then I was like, you know what? I've been wanting one to run with. So
I just need to know how many steps you're taking if you run 0.8 mile. Like, how many steps? Because that's all I want
to
run.
So to give you an idea, the wife and I walked a mile last night just to see how it would work and try it and test it out. And plus just to spend some time together and whatnot.
Outside or inside?
Outside.
Okay.
And it was right at 3,000 steps for a mile.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
So 0.8 is probably 2,800 steps.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Because we're about the same height. I would imagine height would impact that number, right?
I mean, not by much.
That doesn't calculate on the watch in terms of, they just can't calculate steps.
Yeah, well, it knows, I guess. That's the crazy thing is, it's smart because, like, if I just sit here with my arm and do like I'm walking and wave it back and forth, it knows I'm not walking and it doesn't count it as steps.
How?
I have no idea. It's witchery.
Really?
Magic. I have no idea how it figures that out, but I thought for sure because my first watch was like that. If you did too much activity with your arm, it would just count random steps. I'd be sitting down. I was like, no, that's not going to work. The technology has really come a long way. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to wear a watch every day for work. And really? Now because I have, like you said, because I have my phone.
Yeah.
I get bothered by wearing a watch.
Do you?
Yeah. I used to like them, collect them a little bit, have some, and now I'm just like, eh.
Yeah, I can see that.
As long as I got my phone, that's all I need. But I can see what you're saying. If it's not like competitive sports in a team environment where you're annoying wearing a watch and headphones playing basketball, but if it's just for walking and running and cardio type things, I get it. Totally get it. The music aspect is very cool too.
Somebody texted the show, Barry has an Android phone, LOL. Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
Because I'm a dude. That's what dudes have.
See.
And then you go and do that.
There's plenty of dudes with iPhones. Probably 90% of this building have iPhones.
All the women?
No.
It's 90% women.
Yeah. 90% of the men and women employed. Mm. All the way down to the interns.
I love that there are phone snobs out there. Like this guy that says Barry has an Android phone. Like it's like some primitive. Like you realize that the Android phone is the number one selling phone in the world, right? You can't be that dumb.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Yeah, maybe so.
Don't, yeah.
I just love that that's what people get hung up on. You have an Android phone. Okay, what are you, 5?
That's not a flip phone, for God's sake.
Yeah, there's basically 2 phones.
Exactly.
I have an Android phone, an Android watch, and a MacBook Pro. Like,
you can't really make fun of anybody for having an iPhone and Android, but if you, if you're like Barry Warner and you have like a BlackBerry, right, okay, you can make fun
phone.
Of.
Flip phones are the worst.
A flip phone, but is there any flip phones
there
really?
I love the memes. Oh, yeah.
Worrell had one for the longest time. When
Does
I was
he still
the
have it, though?
I don't think he still has it.
No, I saw Barry at the Astros game. He had Worrell. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about the Android versus iPhone thing is, and I've posted some of the memes on my Instagram, but people are out there making memes about dudes with iPhones. There was this one where this chick is lifting a guy up and has him pressed against the fence and they're making out. This is how dudes with iPhones kiss their woman.
I think I saw that.
It's her holding him up. It's pretty awesome. That's the funny part, but some people just
Because some people don't have personality, Barry. It happens. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We've got plenty more to get to as we keep kicking through different topics on this Tuesday in the big city. Little Rockets news to talk about. There was more cleaning house than what you might have expected in just Roy Rogers and Mr. Bezdelic. So there's some things to talk about there as we wonder where do they go from here from a Houston Rockets perspective. And who is going to lead them as they go forward? Those will be interesting questions that we can address. And other things that you have on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776, HR&P listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number two, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Sorry, some people just, we get weird questions.
Okay.
Somebody wanted to know what's my resting heart rate. No. I don't know why people don't. 74.
Now you're going to get commentary on that.
No, that's good.
I know, but you're going to get commentary.
That's like right in the middle. Okay. They said between 68 and 77
He's so
like
distracted by that watch.
Yeah.
So, somebody asked. So
I'd be excited too, though.
But that's why, I mean, I don't ever, I turn that stuff off because I don't care. I'm like, whatever. None of that matters to me. I literally only wanted to run and listen to music. That is it.
So is that a good resting heart rate?
Yeah. 64 to 77 is average. Good.
Okay.
And I'm 74. So don't worry. I'm not going to die anytime soon. You're going to have to get rid of me another way, Nick. It's not going to be from heart failure.
You just got to work on your resting heart rate.
You just gotta, just got to get
just
to Friday.
Keep
Nick.
Having people text in stupid stuff. And that might make me have a heart attack. Pedro had a question for me. Who do you think is the best, Barry? Who do you think is the best pitcher in Astros franchise history?
Interesting.
I'm going to go. No, you can answer too.
No, he said Barry.
I'm going to go Charlie Kerfield. Just kidding.
Just for the hair.
Just for
and
smoking,
the size.
Smoking yeah. heaters and yeah. the bully. Yeah. I think without a doubt for me, Nolan Ryan.
You're gonna be hard pressed
to convince me that there was somebody better in this organization.
The only thing that you can nitpick on is because he played for the Mets and the Angels
Doesn't
and the Rangers.
Look what he did while he was here.
So there wasn't the longevity.
Okay.
But other than that, it's pretty hard to argue that it's not Nolan. JR, if he doesn't have the stroke,
probably up
JR
there.
JR would have been up there.
1A, 1B.
Yeah.
Right?
Mike Scott would be up there.
Mike Scott, I felt like, wasn't as consistent. I mean,
but he did have seasons.
Nolan was here for 8 years.
And a no-no at a big time. So he had some things that people will remember when they're voting.
How long do you think Mike Scott was an Astro? Because I don't know. I'm just asking.
6 years?
Mike Scott was an Astro from 83. Oh, that's weird. 90 and 91. He was with the Astros in 90 and 91?
I mean, how many games did he play?
Wow. Two.
Well, see, there you go. In 91. Does it really count? Was he really there?
He was. Wow, I didn't realize that. 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, and 90, and then 91, and then that was it. I thought he was in
close.
The 80s only. Yeah, so 83 to 91.
Okay.
8 years. So about the same time as Nolan, just a different era.
Other than that, who do you throw in? Roy O had a good career for the Stros, was a winning pitcher, was an all-star.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to count Roger, who played for, obviously, Red Sox, Yankees, Blue Jays.
Yeah. It
Pettit,
be.
Who was a Yankee.
Yeah, so that's the thing. The question becomes, is it body of work with the Astros or body of work in the majors? Because that's a big difference. Because now you do have to consider guys like Roger Clemens.
And of the body of work in the majors, how
Justin
much
Verlander.
Of it was for the Astros.
Right, yeah. That's what I mean, yeah.
I thought you were saying his best years were with the Astros, or had great years with
I'm
the Astros.
I'm just saying there's two ways to look at this. Is it body of work with the Astros or body of work as a Major League Baseball pitcher? two different things completely. I think body of work as an Astro, it's hands down Nolan.
I agree. Yeah, I think that's absolutely right.
Because overall, if you're just saying who's the best pure pitcher that's ever pitched for the Astros, then yeah, you got to start thinking, well, Roger Clemens, Justin Verlander. I mean, you had some rentals here. Mm-hmm. Hell, you could throw in, for
Randy
my money,
Johnson.
Randy Johnson, Billy Wagner.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of stud arms. Mike Scott, like
if
you said,
if not for Kevin Brown and the Padres, that could have been one hell of an ending when Randy Johnson became an Astro for that part of a season.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's been some big arms in the lore of the Stros.
Yeah.
So interesting. And by the way, congrats to Kevin Biggio and the Biggio family after two subpar games, a three-hit performance, including his first hit and his first home run, which was pounded 400 and some feet.
He pounded it.
In the same game, he had three hits. Gurriel, the younger brother of Yuli, had four hits. And both those guys homered, and Vlad Jr. had a double and a multiple hit game. So the young kids start to show up a little bit for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, well, they're no Jack Mayfield, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, big first hit in the majors in his
like
first
that
game.
Double off the wall. I was giddy.
Got his chick all excited in the stands.
That was great,
it's
man.
It's a good story, though.
It's a great story.
He's 28?
28 years old, undrafted, had to fight and earn every single. They were talking about it on the broadcast, how, man, you don't understand how big of a deal it is for an undrafted free agent to make a big league ball club, because Blummer was saying, like, you don't get the reps that the guys that have a lot invested in do. You're just there to fill a spot. They don't care about you. If you don't succeed, they don't care. There's nothing invested in an undrafted free agent. So the fact that he was able to make it all the way through and get to the majors was a big deal for him, for the organization and all that stuff. So, I mean, good for him. Is he going to stick around? Probably not. But you know what? He got his moment, and when he got his moment, he went 1-for-4, got an RBI, got his hit.
And keep in mind, we always say this, and it doesn't matter what the sport it is, but keep in mind, he's auditioning for every other team in the league, too.
Could be.
And maybe when they look at the fact that, hey, the Astros are pretty solid in the infield, as we all know, but maybe there's another team out there that's looking for an infielder. Either it's a replacement for someone with an injury, or they're looking for a guy that maybe they can get a couple years of service out of. Maybe that translates because they saw him hit big league pitching and looked like he's comfortable doing what he's doing. And they go and they make a move. Last night I was watching Mets Dodgers, and our boy that they didn't have a spot for in Houston, Davis,
JD Davis,
JD Davis mm-hmm. comes up and hits a bomb off of Kershaw.
There you go.
So you know what? He just needed a chance. He's having a decent season for the Mets, but at least kudos to Jeff Luhnow and his staff that, hey, if we got a guy and we just know that because of the guys we have, and because of the farm system, he's never going to get a chance to play the way he wants. They find a home for him.
So
hopefully they do that for White very soon.
Yeah.
I just had to throw that in there.
Major League Baseball keeps a prospect watch on every team and their pipeline, and they have a webpage where they have their top 30 prospects for each team. So it wouldn't surprise you if I told you Forrest Whitley was one.
Have you seen what he's done lately, by the way? Five straight poo-poos.
Forrest Whitley, number one. Kyle Tucker, number two. Yordan Alvarez, number three. Corbin Martin, four. J.B. Bukauskas, five.
Okay.
What do you think Jack Mayfield ranks among their top prospects?
47.
He is not top 30, because that's all the highest they go.
Oh. Okay.
Like, yeah, he's not even on the list, and he gets up. And again, that tells me I think the Astros are being very smart with their prospects.
Nope.
Like, this is a guy that, hey, just come up, fill a spot.
And they're also not going to start the clock on a guy that they got to keep control of.
Exactly right.
No doubt about it.
You saw Derek Fisher come up instead of Yordan Alvarez.
He looks different, but the results are the same. At least his thing, at least his picture's not on the back of a milk carton anymore. He's back in an Astros uniform. Yeah, so
he went 2-for-4. Can't knock that.
Let's stay encouraged, because you know we need guys with trade value.
Tyler White got a run in an RBI.
He ran where?
He got a run in an RBI.
Okay. I've seen him run. All right, hey, two in the books, 1 hour still to go. Lots of things to get to in the final 60 minutes, and if you want to be a part of it, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can tweet. Back with more for Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Watch out.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.